nice to be here in Houston. I can add it's nice to not be in Chicago. It's freezing in Chicago right now. Literally. And before coming here, I was in Florida, so it was nice in Florida. When I was visiting in Alachua, I was invited just after the morning Bhagavatam class to visit the new Raman Reti school. They have several schools in Alachua. Their charter school, the new Raman Reti school, they have some Montessori school. Pick a school. So when I went to the new Raman Reti school, the little kids, they were oblivious. They were just playing. And then the next group, they were absorbed in hearing Mahabharat. So I asked them, what's the best part of your day every day? Mahabharat! What's next best? Science and math. The teacher said, really? But they like Mahabharat. So I was thinking this evening that combine a little bit of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, with Mahabharat, because they parallel. They're in the seventh chapter of the first canto, when the first direct pastimes of Krishna are narrated. The whole is Krishna Katha because it's in relation to Krishna. The first six chapters and the beginning part of the seventh chapter are the foundation, the essence, messages of the entire Bhagavatam can be found in those chapters, and then further expanded by the other cantos. But the first Krishna Katha that's directly spoken is about the Pandavas. And the depiction that comes in Mahabharat and the depiction that comes in Srimad Bhagavatam, they run parallel with a different theme, and sometimes even the narration differs. The parallel is that in Mahabharat, the main theme, with the exception of Bhagavad Gita itself, is a classic good versus evil struggle. And the theme is good always wins, although it may look like good is getting beaten up by evil. But good will always prevail, or virtue will always prevail. Stand on the side of virtue and goodness. And in the Bhagavatam, it doesn't abandon goodness, but it says, and the ultimate form of that goodness is Savai Pungsang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir and Hoksajay Ahoituki Pratyatai Yatma Suprasidati. That's the Bhagavatam's message. That goodness becomes established by surrender to the personality of God. And that kind of surrender that is ahoituki apratiyata. Hetu means cause, specifically material cause. Everything has a cause. Krishna is the ultimate cause. And devotional service is caused by attraction for Krishna. Krishna, the all-attractive, attracts. That's the cause of devotional service. So one just needs to be exposed to, open oneself to, that all-attractiveness of Krishna. Or as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, mat taksanavram pravartate iti madva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandita. That where does everything come from? Prabhava means Prabhava. He's the source of emanation. Aham sarvasya prabhava. He's the source of all emanations. Our acharyas drill down a little bit and say all means matter and spirit, because Krishna says at the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that's everything. There isn't something other. This material world is made of matter and spirit, and Krishna is the source of matter and spirit. Aham sarvasya prabhavam. And he says the same thing in reverse. Everything comes from me, I am the source of everything. Like double. And iti madva, thus knowing, ajante mam, unless you're dishonest. If you're honest, there's only one thing to do. So then there's this honesty component. I'm very excited. I'm really looking forward to a seminar I'm going to be giving in freezing Chicago with the youth group. A 2-day, 6-hour seminar on the theme of honesty. And the theme is going to be self-honesty. And then self-honesty means so many things. It includes being honest to others. Not just like, you have to start being honest with yourself before you can be honest with others. Okay, most people are thinking they're being very honest with themselves, and in fact they're deluding themselves, and in very intelligent ways are deluding others based upon self-delusion, self-deception. I like Srimad Bhagavatam very much. Wish I had more time for Srimad Bhagavatam and less time for so many other things I have to do. I think that's all of us. But I wanted to just take this point one step further. This Mahabharata has as the theme morality and ethics, and what is duty. But when the Bhagavatam takes that topic, what is duty is to surrender to Krishna. The sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, prescribe duties for mankind. And guess what it's about? Surrendering to Krishna. And because that's a theme of the whole Bhagavatam. Marsh Prakrit's about to die. And he asks Shukadeva Goswami, what's my duty? Not only what is my duty on the threshold of death, but for that matter, since I, at least previously, was king and I have concern for the welfare of all citizens, what's everyone's duty? What's the duty of people in general? The duty of people in general is to take shelter of the personality of Godhead. And to do that in truth, tatvataha, one has to know who is Krishna. Mayasakta manakparta yogam yunjan vadashaya asamshayam samagramam yathakyasyasi tachtranu. Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter that, and he fulfills his promise, that he is going to explain how to come to that stage where the mind is completely attached to Krishna and one's consciousness is fully sheltered in him alone. Where one can understand that process beyond doubt. A samshayam samagramam yata kyasyasi tatrinu. And therein lies the clue, the passageway from our realm into the transcendental realm is by hearing. Tat shinu, like hear from me. Tat hear that, met hear how from me. Or in the beginning of the ninth chapter, pravakshami anasuyave. He just says the same thing the other way around. I'm going to explain to you. The other is hear from me. I'm going to explain to you. That's another way of saying the same thing, by the process of hearing. So now we'll go to the Bhagavatam with the first verse of the 13th chapter of first canto. The 13th chapter of the first canto is Dhritarashtra quits home. Dhritarashtra saved from terrible calamity by his younger brother, Vidura, because his other younger brother has already gone. Pandu left this world. So, Dhritarashtra was rescued by Vidura. Now, I'll read the verse. That's the first verse of chapter 13, and we'll just take off from there. And I'll connect it back to truthfulness and virtue, Mahabharata theme, and surrender fully unto Krishna by hearing about him. And the, is the message of the Bhagavatam. So, chapter 13 begins. There it is. Shishuta Goswami said, while traveling on pilgrimage, Vidura received knowledge of the destination of the self from the great sage Maitreya and then returned to Hastinapura. He became as well versed in the subject as he desired. So this is Canto 1, and please note that the Bhagavatam is not written in chronological order. Vyasa is not obliged to do that, and he doesn't. In the beginning of the third canto of the Bhagavatam, we hear about this situation in detail, where Maitreya speaks the message of Krishna to Vidura. Not only Maitreya speaks the message, but Uddhava speaks the message. And not only Uddhava speaks the message, but Krishna speaks the message to Uddhava, which was heard by Maitreya. It's really, really wonderful. Bhagavatam is so wonderful. After, because what happened was, when Krishna returned back to Dwarka, Arjuna was sent with Krishna to go back to Dwarka. And it was a twofold purpose. One was to show honor to Krishna, that one of the Pandavas, now Yudhisthira is the king, and one of the five Pandavas was going to accompany Krishna with the royal army. Krishna doesn't need a royal army. So it's an honorific gesture to show honor to Krishna, to accompany him all the way back safely to Dwarka. But the other purpose was the transcendental purpose, or another transcendental purpose, which was Krishna's plan? Because the sense was, you know, Yudhisthira wasn't king of the world for no reason. He intuitively understood Krishna's purpose of his appearance is now fulfilled. And what's he going to do next? The unspeakable next. He's going to leave. So Arjuna was sent to assess Krishna's plan. And we know from the first canto it was months and months and months. No emails, no text messages, no faxes, no telephone calls, no message at all. No brahmana sending, Arjuna returns soon, nothing. So they knew. They saw bad omens. There's a whole chapter of the bad omens after Krishna had left. They didn't want to say it. They didn't want to think it, but they knew in their heart. So meanwhile, Krishna also knew, and he confided in his dearmost devotee, Uddhava, expressing to Uddhava, very soon I'm going to complete my pastimes on earth and return from whence I came. And when I do, it's going to be very turbulent. And I don't want you to experience that. The way to protect you from that is take the association of my devotees, Nara Narayan Rishi and their associates are in the northern region. You go there, take their shelter. Please go at once. This is my wish for you, that you are safe and protected. Lord Kapila gave the same instruction to Devahuti. Take the association of devotees. She asked the question, what to do? Soon you're going to leave. Tell me now what I should do to stay secure, because my husband is gone and soon you're going to go. Where's my protection? The protection is the association of devotees. So Krishna told Uddhava to do that. And he didn't want to go. But Krishna had given him an order, so he went. At least he tried to go. And he almost got there, and he couldn't bear a separation from Krishna, so he came running back to Dwarka, and Krishna had already left Dwarka. And Uddhava went mad. He had to find Krishna. So he was like the Goswamis, running here and there. Where is Krishna? Hey, Radhe, Vrajadevi, where have you gone? And he searched and he searched and he searched. And in a forest in Vrindavan near the river Jamuna, he found Krishna under a large banyan tree, beautiful description, laying against the tree with his long arms stretched down to his knees. And in a very meditative, very relaxed, very peaceful countenance, he went running and threw himself at Krishna's feet, crying and crying, I couldn't bear separation. I couldn't follow your instruction because I couldn't bear your separation. And then I couldn't find you, and now I found you. So emotionally torn, because he had an instruction that he failed to follow, but now he had Krishna's association again. And in that situation in the forest, that's third canto, comes then the 11th canto, which is also not chronological. The 11th canto is the Uddhava Gita, Uddhava's questions to Krishna and Krishna's answers. Sadhiraj told me that's his next book. He's going to write an exposition, some publisher. No, it was Oxford University. He asked them, you have some editing work for me. He said, no, but would you have any books in mind you want to write? I was thinking I should write something about Uddhava Gita. Oh, that's great. Send us a summary of what you want to write. So that's his next book. Because it parallels and expands the message that Krishna gave to Arjuna. And while Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, the whole of the Uddhava Gita, Maitreya was also listening. So Maitreya directly heard from Krishna, as did Uddhava. And after Krishna left, Arjuna, fully satisfied and fully filled with despair at the same time, conflicting emotions. So when Vidura found Uddhava, who was known as outside of Vrindavan the most advanced personality, the closest to Krishna of anybody, in the language of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, to the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. And he's found him in the forest. And naturally he wanted to hear about Krishna. You've had Krishna's association. Can you describe about Krishna? And he not only described about Krishna, but he went on for two chapters, Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna out of Vrindavan. At first he couldn't speak, just thinking of Krishna. He was too emotionally choked up. He couldn't speak at all. And finally he spoke this wonderful, wonderful verse, where he said, "What can I say about Krishna? Who could be a master as perfect as Krishna, as wonderful as Krishna? Krishna is such a wonderful master that even a she-demon came to kill him, to poison him. But because she was in the role of mother and some attraction for Krishna, as a mother has for a child, although she was demoniac in disposition, Krishna accepted that service, liberated her, and gave her position in the spiritual world, eternally situated as one of the mothers of Krishna. How can you find a master like that?" And he just couldn't stop talking about Krishna once he started talking about Krishna. And when hearing about Krishna, then Vidura had further questions. And out of respect for one who was his elder in years, Maitreya, said, "I shouldn't be speaking. You should go to Maitreya." Out of deference for Maitreya's elder age. And so Vidura went to Maitreya. And he asked Maitreya about four cantos worth of questions. As it says here, as much as he desired, he heard from Maitreya. And when he finished hearing from Maitreya, he was on the platform of Maitreya, which was, by dint of hearing from Krishna, on the topmost platform, Mahabhagavata Vaishnav. When Vidura left the royal palace, or while he was in the palace, he was respected by everyone as the wise Uncle Vidura. Well, uncle because his relationship with the Pandavas was the uncle. Nivesh, can you describe for us what is the relationship between the Pandavas and Vidura, why they called him Uncle Vidura? Who was the Pandavas' father? Pandu. Okay. And who were the brothers of Pandu? Vidura and Dhritarashtra. So that's the relationship. He was Uncle Vidura. So when Pandu died, when the Pandavas were very young, their father died. And so Kunti went back to the royal palace with the Pandavas without a husband. So the boys had no father. So the brother, Vidura, acted like their father. So he was like their father. Later in this 13th chapter, Maharaj Yudhisthira appreciates Vidura, that you were like a mother bird spreading her wings. protecting the little birds, protecting us when we were very young. I had this experience once. I was visiting somebody, the devotee that lived kind of in the country, and they were into animal husbandry, you know, like taking care of animals. So when I went to visit their house, it was the summertime, and we went into the backyard. I didn't know any better, but there was a duck that just gave birth to little ducklings, and I walked too close to the duck pond. And she came out flapping her arms like this, and with her head going like that and her tongue going like that, and running after me like she was going to attack me. And I ran under the porch, and she followed me right up to the steps, and like, "You leave my little ducklings alone." "Okay, I'll leave your ducklings alone." So that imagery of the Bhagavatam, very strong. Like a bird, like a mother bird protecting her little birds. You protected us when we were very young. Because they had no other protection, so he acted that way. Vidura in the royal palace was, although part of the royal family, he was never in a position where he could rule as a king, because by birth his mother was the maidservant of Ambika, and because of being the maidservant's son, he was considered by social position as Shudra, but at the same time part of the royal family, and so he was treated with great dignity and respect, given a royal-like position, and simply he didn't rule. But he was very wise. There's a reason why he was very wise, because of who he was before he was Vidura. Any of our children can say, "Do you know who we were?" Yamaraj. Do you know how it, can you describe for us how it came to be that Yamaraj became Vidura? What was the sage's name? Can anybody of you remember? Oh, we're just doing the children's. Children's participation to keep them absorbed so they don't get restless and think, you know, "I want to get out of here. I wish Maharaj would stop speaking." Children's at home. Manduka Muni. Remember that one? Manduka Muni. So what happened? A sudra. Come to earth and become a sudra. Not a demon, a sudra. Okay. And can we go back a little bit? Why did Manduka Muni go to Yamaraj and ask him that question? Why was I to be punished? Do you remember that part? Any of the children remember that part? Sure you do. When I start to tell you, you'll go, "Oh, yeah." One time, there was a group of robbers, bandits, like criminals, and they were robbing and plundering, and the people were becoming too much disturbed, so they went chasing after the robbers, and the robbers fled from the police, and they ran into the forest, and they went into the, they hid inside the hermitage of Manduka Muni. Right? Oh, yeah. So the police came, and they saw this place. They thought, "Maybe this is where they live." So they went inside, and they arrested everybody, including Manduka Muni. Right? Remember that one? Remember it now? Okay. So then they were brought to trial and they were sentenced to be killed, put to death. And you know how they were to be killed? Put on a platform, at least in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's called a changa. It's a wooden platform. And they stand on the wooden platform at a public place and everyone can see these men are going to be killed because they were robbers, so you better not become a robber because you'll get killed this way. It's like a public spectacle. And some people saw, wait a minute, one of those people is not a robber. That's the great sage, Mandukamuni. So they went and told the king. And the king heard and said, oh no, this is a terrible offense. He went to the scene and said, stop, stop, Mandukamuni, please come off the platform. Because underneath the platform were these raised swords. They remove the platform and they fall down on upright swords and they're finished. They were to be pierced by the swords. So that was the punishment. So when the king offered his profuse apologies, Mandukamuni said, that's okay, I don't have an issue with you, but I'm going to go visit Yamaraj and find out why he was going to have me punished this way. So then he went to Yamaraj, who said, when you were little, you pierced an insect with a sharp end of a straw. And he died. So you have to die. You were to die the same way. And like you said, he became very angry. What kind of dharma understanding is this? A small child that doesn't know any better, certainly it's not good, but punishable by death? This is the understanding of a sudra. I curse you, you become a sudra. Now what did Yamaraj think about that? He thought, hurry, bowl. I've got a rough job down here. Taking all day long, all the sinful people, day and night and night and day, and no relief, because there are so many sinful people. I want to speak about Krishna, and there's no time, because I have to do all this punishing of sinful people. So Prabhupada describes, by taking birth as Vidura, he then had the opportunity to glorify Krishna, which any nice devotee likes to do. Even we have to do some things we don't like to do. We like to glorify Krishna. So he was given that opportunity. And so he did. And Vidura, in glorifying Krishna, as well as protecting the Pandavas, he, very much like Yudhisthira, he never departed from the truth. And this is the, I'll press the pause button for a moment here and say, this is a theme of Mahabharata, and it's also a very important message in the Bhagavatam, because Vidura is going, he's come back to the royal palace to instruct his dear blind brother that you've deviated from Dharma. Because of your capacity, I can't give you the highest thing because you can't hear it. You're too attached. The highest thing is just surrender to Krishna. But at least be detached from worldliness, because that's also a statement of truth. When Draupadi was being insulted in the vicious assembly of the Kauravas because of the cheating of Shakuni in his dice game, and one by one Maharaj Yudhisthira lost everything, including even Draupadi. Remember that scene from Mahabharata? So when Draupadi was forcefully by Dushasana brought into the assembly and trying to, under Duryodhana's indication, have her stripped naked. So very powerful Dushasana pulling upon her sari. And she was, you know that, remember that one? What did Draupadi do? What did Draupadi do when this started to happen?
Oh,
Yeah, well, first what she did, she was tugging with her arms. But she could understand Dushasana is more powerful than I am. So she just raised both arms in the air and called out very loudly, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda!" And Krishna came. When the devotee's in distress, calling out sincerely from the core of their heart, Krishna's there in the calling. And he manifested himself in the form of sari to cover the body of Draupadi so that she would not be embarrassed in this public assembly. And when Dushasana was exhausted from trying to pull the sari that wouldn't come off, then Draupadi spoke to the assembly very strongly and said, "I ask all the learned persons in the assembly if this stands for Dharma, and I also ask you if it is a fact that my beloved husband, Yudhisthira, because I was also married to four other Pandavas, if he alone can gamble me in a gambling match. I ask any of you to tell me what is the principle of Dharma that applies to this. Could he in fact gamble me away as his property?" Nobody said anything. She turned to Bhishma Dev, "Dear grandfather, who raised the Pandavas like your own grandson, please speak. You're the knower of wisdom." "I cannot say. It's too complicated. Because if you make an utterance, it has to be correct. You don't just say something because, you know, it's nice to say something. You, when you're qualified, you only speak what is absolutely true." And Bhishma Dev was unable to speak. Drona was unable to speak. Vidura couldn't take it. He stood up, "I'll speak. This is completely against Dharma. What principle is superior to the principle that a woman should be protected? And all of you are remaining silent. Because you're remaining silent, this will bring the destruction of the entire dynasty of the Kauravas. Mark my words. You violate Dharma and everything will be taken." Now, it didn't change the course of events, but Vidura would not sit idly and speak nothing. Shesha Prabhu, he's the minister of education, and he spoke this point before a group of young people saying, "Listen, young people," and older people also, but especially he was addressing the younger devotees, saying, "Don't succumb to peer pressure, whether it's in school or in the workplace or life in general. The tide of times may push in a certain direction, but if you understand a principle, stand by the principle. Take shelter of that principle and feel protected by the principle. Dharma rakshita rakshita. You protect Dharma and you're protected by Dharma." That's a very important message of Mahabharata. So his interest, in one sense, was standing by the truth of what's obvious. You can't do something like what was happening to Draupadi. And another message embedded within the Bhagavatam is, why was Grandfather Bhishma, who was such an elevated devotee of Krishna, put in the situation where he was defeated by his grandsons? Why did Krishna want that to happen? Krishna wanted to show, Prabhupada writes right in the purport, through his own dear devotee Bhishma Dev, he wanted to show, it doesn't matter who you are, fail to give protection to women, then you'll be destroyed. All good things, all virtue will be taken from you. Such an important principle. Protection of children, protection of women, protection of cows. How much this culture that's spreading all over the world doesn't have a clue about these principal types of protection. And what's to be expected when the culture is absent the principle of protection? One will be unprotected. It's a very, very dangerous situation. And try to wake people up. Like, excuse me, sir, but you're heading for the ditch, going 60 miles an hour. Look out! And they'll say, leave me alone. Why are you bothering me? But at least we can speak the message, as Vidura did, speak the message. But certainly don't succumb to the pressure that all the other kids are doing, so I feel I need to do. I was having this discussion with a family in the home I was staying with in Orlando, and the daughter was saying, it gets pretty hard sometimes, peer pressure. You know, I try to not, you know, but sometimes it gets pretty hard. So it's nice to hear about staunch devotees like Vidura, who can be our role model and we can hold up and follow. Abide by the truth. Abide by virtue. And to sustain that, one needs to take shelter of Krishna. To sustain that, one needs the association of qualified devotees. Couple other things about Vidura, and just because I've been appreciating him of late. This is in relation to the process of hearing. When the first murder plot of wicked Duryodhan failed, which was the first of the murder plots? Youth, children. Duryodhan had a plan to kill Bhishma Dev. What was the plan? Bhima. Narration. Very good. Very good. Who are you learning Mahabharat from? Okay, very nice. Very nice. So let's go back to he was poisoned and tied up in ropes and thrown in the river. And because his body went down into the Naga Loka, right? And the Naga snakes bit him. But by Krishna's arrangement, the poison of the Naga serpents neutralized the poison that Duryodhan had administered. And so he was awakened. And when he awakened, his body was tied up in ropes, and because he's Bhima, he just broke the ropes, and the Nagas were, and they went to the Naga king. What do we do? There's this human being down here, and he's so powerful. Remember what happened then? Yes, very good. Keep going. What did he give him? Yes. He he drank three containers of it. And he fell asleep afterwards. And it made him as powerful as 10,000 elephants. He was already powerful. And they dressed him up as a Naga king in royal dress and have had a big Bhima party. May you not take birth again, one of those. No. And then they said, oh, your relatives must be in great anxiety, especially Queen Kunti. So you better go back. But it was so wonderful having your company. And now you're this powerful, invincible, practically, personality. So while Bhima was gone, the four brothers returned. And Kunti said, 1, 2, 3, 4, where's Bhima? And they said, oh, he just ate a lot. You know, he eats so much. And he went to sleep. When he wakes up, he'll come very soon. But he didn't come. And he didn't come, and he didn't come. And there's mother of Bhima, Kunti, thinking, I know that there's a problem here. There's this animosity between Duryodhan and the Kauravas towards my sons. Maybe something happened to my son. So what did she do? Vyasadeva. She went to Vyasadeva. Listen carefully. This is a key message that I want to deliver this evening. It's along the lines of hearing. She went to Vyasadeva and said, Vyasadeva, you are our well-wisher. You are like our spiritual master. Surely, because you're Trikalagya, you can understand what happened. Is my son safe? Excuse me, she went to Vidura. She went to Vidura. You are our well-wisher. You are like our spiritual master. Is our son going to be safe? And Vidura simply said, my dear Kunti, Srila Vyasadeva said, after these children were born, the utterance he made was, these children will live a long life, they will be highly virtuous, and they will rule the world in great opulence. He said those words. And the words of Vyas can't be wrong. So Kunti, be peaceful. Put your anxiety to the side. And you know what? She did. Just on the strength of hearing from Vidura. Oh, mothers who sometimes get an anxiety, or other types of people that get an anxiety. If we can properly hear from qualified sources how to understand a given situation, if our faith and quality of hearing is like Kunti's, just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter of the 1st verse, all of the sufferings of material existence can be dispelled simply by this process of hearing. Pravakshami anasuyave. If in our hearts there's no envy towards the personality of Godhead and those who are representing the personality of Godhead, that can be our position beyond all miseries of material existence. Kunti had that quality, and Vidura had the capacity, and together she was completely relieved. And sure enough, Bhima came home. And when Bhima disclosed the details of what had happened and what the Nagas, who have the capacity of understanding things beyond time and space, they explained what Duryodhana had actually done, the whole plot. And so when this was now shared with Yudhisthira and Arjuna and Kunti, there was this intense desire, let's get him. But what did Yudhisthira say? now is not the time. It was the wisdom and prudence of Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, because he said, we've just come back to the royal palace. We've been gone practically our whole lives. And the Kauravas, Duryodhana and his brothers, have been here their whole lives, and all of the alliances with all the other kings, if some conflagration breaks out, all of their forces will come to their side. We should just remain silent, say nothing, and watch our backs. Be very, very careful. So just on the word of Yudhisthira that checked, Bhima was now as powerful as 10,000 elephants. And Arjuna was the best of archers. And his other three brothers. They were checked just by the words of Yudhisthira. So this is the way of virtue and the way of truthfulness and wisdom. But ultimately, the message of the Bhagavatam is all of that is accomplished and supported by full surrender unto the personality of Godhead, Krishna. So in this world, in this age of Kali, all of that is practically destroyed. We know that from practical experience, what to speak of the scripture confirms it. Mandaksa mandamatayo mandabhagya vipatrita. So we need to take shelter of this process of hearing about Krishna regularly. And one who, with great attentiveness, hears the message of Krishna, these very nice qualities become automatically manifest. The devotee becomes decorated with good qualities. According to Rupa Goswami, there are 26 qualities of a devotee. And of those 26 qualities, one is the root source of the other 25. Without that one, you don't get the other 25. And with that one, you get the other 25. It's Sarup Lakshana, and the others are Tatastha Lakshana. So that Sarup Lakshana characteristic is Krishna Eka Sharana. Krishna, not only Krishna Sharana, Krishna Eka Sharana, exclusive surrender unto Krishna. Bhagavatam is taking us to that place of exclusive surrender to Krishna. No other shelter, Krishna alone, and then all other good qualities will become ours. And access to that shelter of Krishna is through the association of Krishna's devotees. And this message of glorification of Krishna, hearing regularly the message of Krishna. I'll end with this statement that although these stories we've all heard and hundreds of times, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would hear from Gadadhar Pandit the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam every day for 3 or 4 hours. And he especially liked to hear the story of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. And he would hear it hundreds of times. And after hearing the whole narration, he would say to Gadadhar Pandit, say it again, say it again. Not like, tell me something different, I've heard that one before. Say it again, say it again. Relishing the topics in the company of like-minded devotees pleases Krishna. It pleases us because it pleases Krishna. And it will carry us to that position of Krishna's shelter. And we're in that position of Krishna's shelter. All good qualities will be ours. Hare Krishna. See the Prabhupada. Any comments or questions? Anyone? Oh,
I'm sorry. Hare Krishna. good as well as evil. It's contaminated with this, especially we human beings are also matter.
Well, the bodies are also matter, but the soul is not, even in this age. And truth is truth even in this age. Krishna is the source of everything. And part of everything, listen carefully, part of everything is the living entity. Yes. And with the living entity comes free will. And so when the living entity chooses to misuse their free will, that's what we call evil. Now we'll go back to Krishna. Krishna creates Krishna is the source of the living entities. Living entities have capacity of free will, which means they can properly use it, or they can improperly use it. Otherwise, it's not free will. So if they improperly use it, that's the Duryodhana program. And Krishna is the source of Duryodhana, and source of the ability of Duryodhana to try to usurp the kingdom. He's also the source of curtailing Duryodhana.
Focus was more towards their search towards the Lord, whereas in the Mahabharata they had each
So the purpose is different. In the world, you know, Vyas could have chosen to describe people in the world and their different positions. So, because it's instructive, if you want to know the worldly sense or the ethical sense of duty, of religiosity, it's very complex. So you have to have this whole big spread of different types of principles and how you choose this principle over that principle. And within the Mahabharata, the conclusion is from the Yaksha asking Yudhisthira, with all of this complexity, how do you discern what is duty? And he said, Yudhisthira's answer was, it's very complex. But it's not just by study of scripture, it's by the example of the Mahajans. There we can know how to discern what is duty. So if the Mahajans tell us what is duty, then the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, surrender to Krishna, that's duty. Yes, hey,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the last class. We were talking about Dharma, but we find certain instances in the Mahabharata where even the Pandavas had to transgress Dharma. In the case of Yudhisthira, saying a lie to Duracharya.
Lakshmi Nisringa asked the same question in Alachua. So it's a nice question. It's a thoughtful question. And here's the answer. If Krishna directly instructs you something, that's Dharma. And if you don't have that option, that privilege, then it's the textbook sense of Dharma. Clear? And that's not fanaticism, that's what we're to do. To transgression part was not a transgression because Krishna said to do it. Because Krishna establishes what is Dharma. That's the Bhagavatam's teaching. Dharmam Sakshat Bhagavat Panitam. That establishes Dharma. Because even in this matter of speak the truth, that's subjective, largely. Because what I see, I consider to be the truth. But the next person sees the same thing and sees it differently, and they're speaking the truth. And then they're two different statements. Because we're conditioned beings. We perceive differently. Yes?
But we see that...
I'm looking at you, not behind you, looking at you.
We see that also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, whatever a great person does, everybody follows. So one can argue.
And the great person is Krishna. And when Krishna says, we don't imitate, but we understand he's the great person and we should follow what he says. So it takes a thoughtful individual to understand how to follow a great person. And we're supposed to be trained up as thoughtful. Because otherwise, so many other things can be understood from, you know, you get different... Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a partial commentary on Mahabharata. What he chose to do was these difficult sections of the Mahabharata, he made commentary on, not like verse by verse, but so like the Ekalavya story, he made comment, you know, it was published in the Harmonist, but so his comment was, most people think this, and actually the situation was that, not this. He's glorified because he gave his thumb. He's glorified because even he was denied to become a student of Drona. He worshipped Drona and became a qualified student. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, because he did not accept the instruction of Drona was evidence that he wasn't a qualified student. And so Drona took away his capacity to use that skill because he wasn't qualified to use it. And the qualification to use it is the important thing, not the worshipping of Drona.
That is the hand model.
I can't see, there's a wall in the way.
About Dharmaraja speaking, like actually he says Asadama Hataha, but he says Kunjaraha in a very hush voice, soft voice,
right.
So he didn't actually lie.
What we need to know from that episode is not what he said under his breath. What we need to know, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, the fact that Yudhisthira's chariot, which normally was above the ground, touched the ground, is not because he told a lie, but because he hesitated to follow Krishna's instruction, his chariot touched the ground. His higher qualification was following Krishna's instruction. And he hesitated. And that was his disadvantage, or his loss of the shakti for hesitating. Although he finally did. So the comparison or the contrast, because this is one of the ways of teaching is techniques of compare and contrast. There's teaching techniques, that's one. Compare and contrast. Like this, but this is where they're different. So Mahabharata wants us to teach follow ethics and virtue. Bhagavatam wants to teach us surrender to Krishna. And why? Because Krishna determines what is dharma. And if Krishna says something, that's dharma. And you don't perform that which Krishna says, then that's adharma. And that was the purpose of Krishna's doing and giving that instruction to Yudhisthira. Although under his breath he did say, the elephant, Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, the elephant. Yes. Hare Krishna.
I'm always wondering how the Varnashram Dharma failed. Why?
Why did Varnashram Dharma fade? That's your question? What the Bhagavatam teaches us is, well, it's two things, principally. One is Brahmanas transgressed their position of their qualification, starting with the son of Shamakrishi named Sringi, who had brahminical power but misused it. And the other was by one who was not a qualified king taking the position of a king, as in the personality of Kali, dressing himself like a king and abusing the principles of Dharma. So when the Brahmana, say it again, when the Brahmana is not qualified and the Kshatriya is not qualified, people lose faith in the execution of duty. The understanding comes from the Brahmanas. If they're not qualified, all of society deteriorates. People don't know what is duty. They become animals. That's what happens when you don't know what is duty. Unfortunately, one acts like an, you're driven by instincts that says eat, sleep, mate, and defend in ways that seem nice to you. And different people see different ways of how it's nice. So it becomes animal life. But when the Brahmanas are lacking in their qualification, it deteriorates. And then in turn, not properly guided Kshatriyas will do the same. So brahminical power and Kshatriya power become misused and deteriorate, and everything goes down. So then, how to restore it? Need qualified Brahmanas, need qualified Kshatriyas. But how do you get qualified Brahmanas and qualified Kshatriyas out of disturbed population? Unqualified population. That's the Bhagavatam addresses that by this process of hearing. By taking shelter of Krishna Katha, then those greater qualities, the other 25 qualities, come out. Krishna decorates his devotee with those nice qualities. That's the formula, Bhagavatam formula, Bhagavat Purana, or Bhagavat Mark. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Hare Krishna.
I just have a question to add on to what she's describing. And it seems as though, it's described that Maharaj Parikshit was feeling. I don't know why I put that snake on.
He was feeling worse than that. He was feeling, oh, terrible thing I've done.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible thing I've done.
He said, I've gone days without drinking and eating. I don't know why all of a sudden one little horse ride I felt overcome. It was almost as if something overcame him. And so it seems as though, Krishna had some little...
Krishna
desire.
Orchestrated it.
Right. And so here we have the age of Kali being orchestrated by Krishna.
Yeah, exactly.
It's difficult for me to
accept. Prabhupada writes... When Maharaj Parikshit had his sword and he had the personality of Kali, he could have stopped the age of Kali, just like chopped the guy and it's over. But he didn't for two reasons. One was the religious principle that very cleverly the personality of personality of Kali surrendered to Maharaj Parikshit. So as the king, he's now got to give protection to one who surrenders to him. He can send him to Siberia, but he's got to at least protect him. Got to give him a place to live. And the other was, he knew that this is the age of Kali. And it's part of Krishna's plan, so he didn't interfere with Krishna's plan. He was surrendered to Krishna. So now, your question is, why would Krishna want an age of Kali?
Why are the devotees trying to create this golden age within the age of Kali?
Because it's the desire of Lord Chaitanya.
Let's go with the flow. I'm down. The Lord's flow.
It has to do with, back to this question of, evil. Why does people ask this question? Sometimes, as she was asking, why is there evil? Does God create evil? That was your question. Well, if free will is there and free will is the cause of bad things, then why didn't Krishna just take away free will? It should be simple. Hey, you guys are messing up. No more free will. That's it. And the answer to that one is, if there wasn't free will, then there wouldn't be love. For there to be love, there has to be free will. And there is love. So there is free will. And free will means one can misuse it. So there are living entities in this age of Kali that want to misuse their free will in a dark way, like the modes of nature. It's like a whirlpool. You take an object and you drop the object at the outer perimeter of a whirlpool and it moves around slowly. But then it goes toward the vortex and goes faster, 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 faster. So that vortex takes people down in the age of Kali very fast. And he is the agent. The good news is at the end of Kali, everyone gets liberated. Yeah. You didn't know that? Yeah, that's what happens. Kalki avatar comes.
Those who are left.
Yeah, but those that are left.
Yeah.
He liberates. They get liberated. So just hang around, And for those that are Uttaradhi, this Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param, they engage with a broader intelligence and say, hey, I'm not going to hang around, wait till Kalki comes. I'm Tivra Bhakti for me, please. So Krishna provides Tivra Bhakti. He provides the Bhagavatam and he provides Kalki Avatar. Take your pick. But he does provide that choice. Well, we don't know what arrangements Krishna has in other universes. Anyways, we're speaking with the broader intelligent group here. Those that understand, I think I'd better buckle down here. And yeah.
We are part of Krishna. We are created by Krishna.
Well,
and we aim to go back to Krishna. Then why this entire universe exists?
Okay. That's a fundamental question. It's a good question. You have children?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever given permission to your children to do something that you would rather they do something else, but they want to do something so badly you give them permission to do something? Has that ever happened? Okay. So Krishna's like that. In this material world, is for the stubborn, obstinate living entities that say no to Krishna. He gives them a place where they can try to be independently happy for him, from him, although fundamentally it is not possible, but to try to become happy independently from him, he creates the material world. That's one part. There's a twofold purpose. It's a house of correction also, to reform that tendency, to be again harmonious with the will of the Supreme. That's the second part of the material creation's purpose. So he makes all kinds of arrangements embedded within this material creation. He sends his representatives, he sends scriptures. He stays in our heart, he gives us direction. He gives us lessons that tell us, you're not enjoying.
Is it like this, that our soul, my soul, at some point, initially it was with Krishna, but at some point it decided, no, I can be happy without Krishna.
And well, it's not, it's something like that, but not exactly like that. Because it's not, at some point in time, we were hanging around in the spiritual world, looked at our watch and said, gee, there's this other place. Maybe I'll go check it out. But it's not an event within time, is my point. Although we may describe it like that, because that's our frame of reference, is time. But it's not an event in time. Otherwise, I agree with, yes, your statement. We've misused our free will in rebellious spirit. Raga dvesha samutina dvandva mohina bharata. Raga, we coveted Krishna's position. Dvesha, inimical. We want to have that position. We want to be the enjoyer. Why does he have to be the enjoyer all the time? Equal rights. Okay, he can be sometimes, but I should also be sometimes. I want to be the enjoyer. I mean, the enjoyer. Right? The enjoyer. Not like the loving person who wants to see the beloved enjoy, but the enjoyer. Purusha. Prakriti stohi bhunkte. Prakriti jan gunan. Karanam guna sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. Krishna explains. Because of that spirit of wanting to enjoy independently of the Supreme, here we are. The material world is created for us. At the same time, the opportunity to learn our lesson here and come back to him. Because this isn't what we thought it would be. It was a bad deal. Yes.
Talking about free will and prema. Krishna prema, let's say, when Krishna we could have.
Here comes one of these theoretical questions. Krishna probably could have done anything he wanted to do.
So maybe he intentionally did create frame and way so that he wanted us to fail so that we should have the way.
No. How about this one? You have children? Okay. Then you can say, let me think of some terrible, awful, nasty, ugly, dirty, vicious place. Let me send my children there for a while so that they'll learn it's not a nice place, so they'll be happy when they're at home. Are you going to do that? No. No, not like that. Good try, but not like that. Yes.
And you're mentioning equal rights, and I was just wondering what if you could speak about the role of men and women.
Hey, the role of men and women.
And if equal rights.
Equal rights.
Is compatible with Krishna consciousness? Is that concept Between divas, is that compatible with Krishna consciousness?
Is which compatible now? I
want to
be...
Equal...
Yeah, but it's equal rights. Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita.
Well, he also then says...
Well, but there's not... Although we may have different roles with this body, that body, doesn't mean that one has more of a right to access Krishna than another.
It doesn't mean that.
It does not mean that one has... more of a right to access Krishna, another has less of a right to access Krishna. Here's another bodily designation. I'm a sannyasi. That's not who I am. Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra kini noi. That's not who I am. But I have a role to play. Supposing I say, you know, I have equal rights. I've got a body. You know, I have attraction for this and that. You know, why not? Because I have a role to play. I have a duty to perform. It's not who I am. But I have a role to play. And supposing somebody else, they're a grihastha. So they say, you know, I like, you know, just going to the temple all the time and doing seva. And, you know, my Krishna will take care of my family. It's okay. I have a duty to do if I'm a householder and I have children and wife, and I have a duty to do. It's not who I am, grihastha, etc. So that's how I look at it, is that, you know, the gender issue is just a role to play. It's not who we are. And do in this role, that role, does one have a greater access to Krishna? I don't see it. It's not what Krishna sees either. We have a role to play. And as far as I understand things, if we stick by the Vedic standard, we have the cleanest, least obstructed path to reach Krishna. And if we, as soon as we want to start like modifying the Vedic plan to suit, you know, my sensibility, or his sensibility, or her sensibility, or their sensibility, instead of Krishna's sensibility, we start mucking around with the whole thing. It adds obstruction, at least filters. It's not a clean transmission of the channel to Krishna. I'm really happy just taking the Vedic model and staying with it. And it just, we play a certain role for some period of time. And what's more important, what's essential is that internally there's the cultivation of Krishna consciousness from that position. You know, we'll just, you know, do it again. I'm a sannyasi. It's not like I'm up here and you're down there, so, you know, just remember that because I'm up here. And that's terrible. That's yaki consciousness, not Krishna consciousness. But it should be internally a cultivation of humility and dependence upon Krishna in service to him. And I'm serving from this capacity, that's all. But that, and it can change like that, and it's fine. Krishna kicks me out, puts me in another situation of another body and another life and another whatever it is, and fine. Serve from there. So that I'm whatever it is. It's the internal mood of service in an appropriate manner of expression according to my psychophysical condition, whatever that is. And the internal part is the essence, not the role. And therefore, equal opportunity. That's my perspective, anyways. Now, I don't have to be in that role that's set, in this lifetime at least, that says, back of the bus.
So it's interchangeable? Is it possible to, even if we're not choosing consciously that I want to change this set way, if it comes about that the roles have changed, is that compatible? Is that okay?
Sure.
Are the roles interchangeable?
Oh, the roles interchangeable? Meaning like what?
Meaning if someone is not performing their role properly.
Yeah. It's a disturbance for society.
Right.
If I wasn't doing my role properly, it'd be disturbance for society. And if he or she were not doing their role properly, it'd be disturbance for society. Any one of us not doing our role properly is a disturbance for society. So, any one of us cannot control society. We have responsibility for what we do. The area of interest and the area of influence in the area of concern, that little, before he'll explain it to you.
Okay.
You know that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I may have concern about what everybody's doing, but I don't have control over that. I have control over what I do. At least I try to get control over what I do, my thoughts and my feelings and my behaviors. I'm responsible for that. And as much as there's purity in doing what I'm responsible for, then that expands my sphere of influence on how I can influence others to also behave according to what's their natural position also. And we all have a role to play in all of that also. Really good examples of grihastha men and grihastha women and children. It really helps to have examples amongst the children so the other children can understand, here's how you behave. Here's a role model. It works like that. And women and men and sannyasis and etc., whatever the other categories you want, the other upadis out of the whole list. Let me at least do my part properly. Then I can help influence, by doing so, others to do their part properly, and then we've got harmony in the social fabric. And as you were saying, if we don't, it's a disturbance to the social fabric. Okay.
We can stop there.
Okay, we'll stop there. I think we're ready to stop there. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai. 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 Jai.